Fundamentals of Christian Education. Chapter 15. The Value of Bible Study. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is like a treasure house, containing everything that is essential to perfect the man of God. We do not appreciate the Bible as we should. We do not have a proper estimate of the richness of its stores, nor do we realize the great necessity of searching the scriptures for ourselves. Men neglect the study of the Word of God in order to pursue some worldly interests, or to engage in the pleasures of the time. Some trivial affair is made an excuse for ignorance of the scriptures given by inspiration of God. But anything of an earthly character might better be put off than this all-important study, that is to make us wise unto eternal life. My heart aches as I see men, even those who profess to be looking for Christ, coming devoting their time and talents to circulating books that contain nothing concerning the special truths for our time, books of narrative, books of biography, books of men's theories and speculations. The world is full of such books. They can be had anywhere. But can the followers of Christ engage in so common a work when there is crying need for God's truth on every hand? It is not our mission to circulate such works. There are thousands of others to do this, who have as yet no knowledge of anything better. We have a definite mission, and we ought not to turn from it to side issues, employing men and means to bring to the attention of the people books that have no bearing upon the present truth. Do you pray for the advancement of the truth? Then work for it, and show that your prayers rise from sincere and earnest hearts. God does not work miracles where He has provided means by which the work may be accomplished. Use your time and talents in His service, and He will not fail to work with your efforts. If the farmer fails to plow and sow, God does not work a miracle to undo the results of his neglect. Harvest time finds his fields bare and there are no sheaves to be reaped, no grain to be garnered. God provided the seed and the soil, the sun and the rain, and if the agriculturist had employed the means that were at his hand, he would have received according to his sowing and his labor. There are great laws that govern the world of nature, and spiritual things are controlled by principles equally certain. The means for an end must be employed, if the desired results are to be obtained. Those who make no decided efforts themselves are not working in harmony with the laws of God. They are not using the provisions of the Heavenly Father, and they can expect nothing but meager returns. The Holy Spirit will not compel men to take a certain course of action. We are free moral agents. And when sufficient evidence has been given us as to our duty, it is left with us to decide our course. You who are waiting in idle expectation that God will perform some wonderful miracle to enlighten the world in regard to the truth, I want to ask you if you have employed the means God has provided for the advancement of His cause? You who pray for light and truth from heaven, have you studied the scriptures? Have you desired the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby? Have you submitted yourselves to the revealed command? Thou shalt, and thou shalt not, are definite requirements, and there is no place for idleness in the Christian life. You who mourn your spiritual dearth, do you seek to know and to do the will of God? Are you striving to enter in at the straight gate? There is work, earnest work, to be done for the Master. The evils condemned in God's word must be overcome. You must individually battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, and you should become skillful in its use if you would cut your way through the hosts of opposition and darkness. Wrench yourself away from hurtful associations. Count the cost of following Jesus, and make it with a determined purpose to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Eternal life is worth your all, and Jesus has said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." He who does nothing, but waits to be compelled by some supernatural agency, will wait on in lethargy and darkness. God has given His word. God speaks an unmistakable language to your soul. Is not the word of His mouth sufficient to show you your duty, and to urge its fulfillment? Those who humbly and prayerfully search the scriptures, to know and to do God's will not be in doubt of their obligations to God. For, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. If you would know the mystery of godliness, you must follow the plain word of truth, feeling or no feeling, emotion or no emotion. Obedience must be rendered from a sense of principle, and the right must be pursued under all circumstances. This is the character that is elected of God unto salvation. The test of a genuine Christian is given in the Word of God. Says Jesus, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Here are the conditions upon which every soul will be elected to eternal life. Your obedience to God's commandments will prove your right to an inheritance with the saints in light. God has elected a certain excellence of character, and every one who, through the grace of Christ, shall reach the standard of his requirement, will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of glory. All who would reach this standard of character will have to employ the means that God has provided to this end. If you would inherit the rest that remaineth for the children of God, you must become a co-laborer with God. You are elected to wear the yoke of Christ, to bear his burden, to lift his cross. You are to be diligent. To make your calling and election sure, search the scriptures, and you will see that not a son or a daughter of Adam is elected to be saved in disobedience to God's law. The world makes void the law of God, but Christians are chosen to sanctification through obedience to the truth. They are elected to bear the cross, if they would wear the crown. The Bible is the only rule of faith and doctrine, and there is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and strengthen the intellect than the study of the Word of God. No other book is so potent to elevate the thoughts, to give vigor to the faculties, as the broad, ennobling truths of the Bible. If God's Word were studied as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, and a stability of purpose that is rarely seen in these times. Thousands of men who minister in the pulpit are lacking in essential qualities of mind and character, because they do not apply themselves to the study of the Scriptures. They are content with a superficial knowledge of the truths that are full of rich depths of meaning, and they prefer to go on, losing much in every way, rather than to search diligently for the hidden treasure. The search for truth will reward the seeker at every turn, and each discovery will open up richer fields for his investigation. Men are changed in accordance with what they contemplate. If commonplace thoughts and affairs take up the attention, the man will be commonplace. If he is too negligent to obtain anything but a superficial understanding of God's truth, he will not receive the rich blessings that God would be pleased to bestow upon him. It is the law of the mind that it will narrow or expand to the dimensions of the things with which it becomes familiar. The mental powers will surely become contracted, and will lose their ability to grasp the deep meanings of the Word of God, unless they are put vigorously and persistently to the task of searching for truth. The mind will enlarge if it is employed in tracing out the relation of the subjects of the Bible, comparing scripture with scripture, and spiritual things with spiritual. Go below the surface. The richest treasures of thought are waiting for the skillful and diligent student. Those who are teaching the most solemn message ever given to the world should discipline the mind to comprehend its significance. The theme of redemption will bear the most concentrated study, and its depth will never be fully explored. You need not fear that you will exhaust this wonderful theme. Drink deep of the well of salvation. Go to the fountain for yourself, that you may be filled with refreshment, that Jesus may be in you a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Only Bible truth and Bible religion will stand the test of the judgment. We are not to pervert the Word of God to suit our convenience and worldly interests, but to honestly inquire, "What wilt thou have me to do? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." And what a price! Not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. When man was lost, the Son of God said, "I will redeem him. I will become his surety and substitute." He laid aside his royal robes, clothed his divinity with humanity, stepped down from the royal throne, that he might reach the very depth of human woe and temptation, lift up our fallen natures, and make it possible for us to be overcomers, the sons of God, the heirs of the eternal kingdom. Shall we then allow any consideration of earth to turn us away from the path of truth? Shall we not challenge every doctrine and theory, and put it to the test of God's word? We should not allow any argument of man's to turn us away from a thorough investigation of Bible truth. The opinions and customs of men are not to be received as of divine authority. God has revealed in His Word what is the whole duty of man, and we are not to be swayed from the great standard of righteousness. He sent His only begotten Son to be our example, and bade us to hear and follow Him. We must not be influenced from the truth as it is in Jesus, because great and professedly good men urge their ideas above the plain statements of the Word of God. The work of Christ is to draw men from the false and spurious to the true and genuine. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There is no danger of going into error while we follow in the footsteps of the light of the world. We are to work the works of Christ. We must engage heart and soul in His service. We must search the Word of life and present it to others. We must educate the people to realize the importance of its teaching and the danger of deviating from its plain commands. The Jews were led into error and ruin, and to the rejection of the Lord of glory, because they knew not the Scriptures, nor the power of God. A great work is before us, to lead men to take God's word as the rule of their lives, to make no compromise with tradition and custom, but to walk in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Review and Herald, July 17, 1888.